That's so exciting.
All right, let's grab our hymnals and we'll stand, folks. You know, the one thing that made the difference in all of our lives that know Jesus Christ is the love that lifted us up out of the dregs of sin. 185, yes, love lifted me, and it was the love of God. And we'll sing all three. We'll sing John 3:16 on the chorus on the second stanza.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. There is deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now sleep am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. I was loved to him I give, ever to him I cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Yes! Love so mighty and so true, merits my soul's best song. Grateful love makes ever so to him belong. John 3:16, John 3:16. When nothing else could help, John 3:16, John 3:16, John 3:16. When nothing else could help, John 3:16. All in nature look above, Jesus completely sees. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Woo! Hey, please be seated, church. Fantastic singing this morning. What a blessing to these old hymns of the faith. They're just anointed with the Holy Spirit and truth. That it was the love of God that lifted us up out of the dregs of sin. Set my feet upon a rock. Established my goings. Amen. Gave me a life worth living. Matthew chapter 14 this morning, church. As you're opening to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, we shall sing again after. And I'd like to begin this morning in Matthew chapter 14 by asking you, did you know that you can walk on water? Yeah, you can walk on water if Jesus tells you to. Now, don't go doing something that the Lord doesn't want you to do, but if Jesus tells you to do something, you can do it. Mark it down. I'm going to show you that here in Matthew chapter 14. Jesus has just fed 5,000 men beside women and children. We're talking 15 to 20,000 people. What did he use? 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. Why? Because Jesus doesn't need a lot to work through. Amen. Just look at me. Jesus doesn't need a lot to work through. I'm so glad of that. You don't have to be an Arnold Schwarzenegger guy, you know. Jesus will work through anyone who's willing to be used by him. And so this little boy comes and the Lord says, I can use that. The Lord will use what you got. And look with me down here. We'll stand for the reading of God's holy word, beginning in verse 22. Verse 22, we read it straightway. Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Beloved, I want to speak to you this morning on walking on water. Amen. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for Matthew chapter 14. And how we thank you that we can't wait to get to heaven to ask Peter what it was like to walk on water. Oh Lord, I'm so thankful this morning that anything you command us to do, by thy grace and spirit, we can do it. Lord, you're unlimited in your omnipotence, in your glorious power. And we thank you, Lord, that that's the God we serve. And Lord, we just pray this morning that you would give us deep insight into this passage. Because, Lord, it contains so much truth. We could spend months right here. And, Lord, this morning there are hurting people in the church. Lord, there are burdens being borne. Lord, there are illnesses. Some are in the hospital, Lord. And we pray that you would reach out and touch every heart in life today. Lord, that we would know when we leave this place today that we've been touched by God. That our lives have been affected for the better. We thank you ahead of time for all you're going to do through Jesus Christ our Lord. The people said, amen. 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 Please be seated, church. Oh, glory to God. I'm so glad that walking on water is possible, but only to the Christian. Anybody else is going to sink because they don't have the living God. Now, I want to call your attention to my text in verse 29. Because in verse 29, Peter, who was famous for opening his mouth and inserting his foot, said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you on the water." And the Lord said, "Come, it's me, come on." And because, look at verse 29, the one word in red, you see it? Come. If you got a red letter edition, Jesus said, "Come." Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus says to you and I, "Come to me." Jesus says to the whole world this morning, "Will you come to me that you might have life, that you might have redemption, that you might have forgiveness? Come to me." I love that one word in red, come. I'm so glad that he's still saying to the sin-sick, dying world, come to me. I'll take care of your every need. I'll take care of your every problem. I'll bear every burden for you if you just come. Do you remember what it was like when you first got saved? When you realized that you were a sinner who needed a Savior, and you came to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You became His and He became yours. And oh, how great was the joy and the peace and the blessing of knowing that you were now forgiven and on your way to heaven. It seemed like nothing could ever again upset you. Nothing would ever be able to disturb you or trouble you, because now God was your Father. Jesus was your Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit was your teacher. And then, as time went on, one day you discovered that the devil was your enemy. You found out that you were in a battle against the forces of evil, and you began to go through some trials, some tribulations, some storms of life. Folks, listen to me this morning. This Christian life is a life that requires supernatural strength and divine assistance to live. Amen. Did you hear what I said? Amen. If you're going to be a real Christian, you need some supernatural power from on high to get through. Oh, I don't know how the world gets by without Jesus Christ. I tell you, I scratch my head, because without him, I can do nothing. Let's face it. Walking on water requires miraculous support and aid. But I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus our Lord is able to give us that heavenly help. Amen. Where and when we need it.
Yes.
Aren't you glad? Amen. You've got a Savior to go to when you're going through that storm of life represented by the water. You can walk above it. You can walk on top of it. Why? Because His feet are over it. All things are put under His feet. I want to give you a few things this morning concerning walking on water. The first one is this. Notice the conditions that the disciples were in. Look with me in verse 24. Matthew 14. Look at verse 24. Notice the conditions that they were in. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Oh, beloved, they were in a big pickle. They were in a big problem. They were in a storm. You been there? Yeah. You know about storms in the Christian life? Yeah. They come and they go, don't they? Yeah. I'd venture a guess that maybe you're coming out of a storm, heading into a storm, or you're in one right now. Why? Because we all go through storms in the Christian life. There's no avoiding it if you're a true Christian. The devil has a bullseye on your back. But I've got good news. Who sent them into this storm? Look with me at verse 22. Verse 22. And straightway, Jesus constrained His disciples to get into the ship and to go before Him unto the other side, while He sent the multitudes away. Did you notice that Jesus Christ sent them into a place where He knew there would be a great storm arising? Oh, how mean, how cruel. No. Listen, folks, listen to me. If you don't have any problems in your life, any storms to go through, Jesus won't have opportunity to roll up His sleeves and show you how mighty He is. Amen? Jesus sent Him into this storm, and He did it on purpose. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it. Peter wrote this. Peter. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Peter says, when you go through a storm, you can lift your head up, Christian, and say, hey, I'm suffering for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Amen? It's for Jesus' sake. Glory to God. Now, listen carefully. From the Prairie Overcomer, an article entitled, Walking Across the Polar Cap. The first four men to ever walk across the polar ice cap arrived home in Portsmouth, England in the fall of 1969. The team of British explorers set out from Alaska in February of 1968. They trekked 3,620 miles over the frozen tundra, landed on small Blackboard Island in May the 30th of 1969. It took them 14 months. And then they got picked up by helicopter after spending 477 days exposed on the treacherous ice floes. Listen, various dangers faced the four men as they made their incredible journey, including cracking ice, polar bears, which are known to be fearless man-eaters, air temperatures as low as 45 below zero, and the team's ill-tempered husky dogs. Listen. Despite all opposition, the men remained focused and successfully reached their goal, triumphing over every obstacle along the way. They didn't quit, amen, despite the obstacles in their path, folks. Listen to me. You know, we're just like those four men. We're journeying on toward heaven, and we face many dangers and storms along the way. And if it wasn't for God, we'd all sink, amen, under those storms of life. We'd all get eaten by polar bears or freeze to death. It's the Lord that keeps us going. It's the Lord that sees us through. And I'm so glad I can preach to you this morning that Jesus will carry you through that trial you're facing. Jesus will hold you in His loving arms. He'll comfort you. He'll strengthen you. He'll keep you through that storm. I'm so thankful. We've seen the dire conditions that they were in, but something else, beloved, listen carefully. I want you to notice, secondly, who shows up in the midst of this storm. Look at me at verse 25. Who it is that shows up. Verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Should I quit right now and take an altar call? I got great news this morning, church. In the midst of your storm, yes, Jesus will show up.
Amen.
Mark her down. He specializes in delivering us from storms.
Yes.
I'm so thankful He's the, we sang it, He's the master of the sea. Billows his will obey. Oh, I'm so glad of that. Listen carefully now. Jesus went, look at verse 25. Jesus went on a sabbatical. No. Jesus went unto them. You know what that tells me? Jesus is going to come right to you in the midst of your storm.
Amen.
Wherever it might be.
Hallelujah.
You can't go to him, but he sure will show up for you. I'm so glad. Here they are. The waves are crashing. The wind is blowing and howling. What are we going to do? Hey, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. All will be well because Jesus is here. Listen carefully, beloved. A little girl was walking home with her father one night. As they trudged along in the darkness, she said, "Take my hand, Papa, for I can take only a little piece of yours, but you can take the whole of mine." Her father's hand was so much bigger than hers. A little while later, she asked, "Papa, are you afraid?" "No, not at all," he replied. "All right, then, if you're not afraid, Papa, I'm not afraid." Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that your Heavenly Father doesn't fear anything. Your Heavenly Father is bold as a lion, and he says, "I'll make a pathway for you. Just grab my coattails and follow on." Amen? You don't have to fear, because Jesus Christ is with you in that storm. That little girl knew that her daddy wouldn't let anything bad happen to her. She trusted him. Do you trust your Heavenly Dad? Remember, so just place your hands in the hand of Jesus, and he'll take care of everything else in your life until he finally takes you by the hand through the pearly gates onto the streets of gold. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, "For he hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Why? That we may boldly say, "The Lord is mine helper, and I will not fear." I will not fear. Why? He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. No matter where I go, no matter what I'm doing, he's with me. He's taking care of everything, even the unseen enemies that I can't see. He sees them, and he beats them back. Amen? Oh, man, I'm so glad that Jesus always shows up when I need him. I will not worry. I will not forget. My Savior's near. That's all I need to know. But thirdly, there's something else I want you to see this morning. Listen, look at the disciples' failure to recognize the Lord when he showed up. 26. "And when the disciples saw him," Jesus, "walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear." Beloved, they failed to recognize Jesus when he showed up. You know what? That makes me think, you and I, many times, we're going through a difficult situation, and we fail to recognize his saving hand. He might use Uncle Charlie. I mean, he might use a five-year-old girl. But Jesus' hand will show up. We just need to recognize it. Amen. Listen, they go, verse 26. They said, they were troubled. Say, "It's a spirit." And they cried for fear. "Oh no, it's Freddy Krueger. And oh no, it's the boogeyman. Oh, he's going to get us." No, he's not. It's Jesus Christ. Wake up. Wake up. Recognize the hand of Jesus. Look in Matthew chapter 17. Just flip over one page. You'll be there. In Matthew chapter 17, look at verse 6. "And they're on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were" what? So afraid. "And Jesus came and touched them and said, 'Arise and be not afraid.'" I love it. How beautiful the picture is here. When you're afraid, Jesus is going to come along and touch you and say, "Get up. Stop being afraid. It's me. I'm going to take care of that problem in your life." Oh, he's so faithful. "It's me, boys, and everything's going to be all right." Listen carefully now from the gospel banner, faith and doubt. Doubt sees the obstacles. Faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night. Faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step. Faith soars on high. Doubt questions who believes. Faith answers, I believe. I believe. Someone said, faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. Faith is the most dangerous weapon you have. Spurgeon once said, "A little faith will bring your soul to heaven." A great faith will bring heaven to your soul. Amen. Just believe. Just trust him. Just have faith. Faith is not believing that God can, but that God will. Glory to God. I'm so thankful for that. But I see something else. Something else this morning that we must observe in our passage, and that is this. Notice the voice of encouragement. Look with me at verse 27. Notice the voice of encouragement. But straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. I love it. You know what I see there? I see a great voice of encouragement. Do you know what you need? You need encouragement. Do you know what I need? you all give it to me. The Lord gives it to me. And you all give it to me too. Encouragement. Encouragement. We all need encouragement. You know what the devil is? He's a discourager. He wants to get you down and defeated and depressed and discouraged. Jesus is just the opposite of that. He's a lifter up of mine head. He's my encourager. He's my strength. And he says in verse 27, be of good cheer. I'll tell you what, folks, we all have problems, but we can be of good cheer through them. Yes. Why? Because Jesus is with us through them. Amen. Through them. I am so thankful for that this morning. A letter from God. Listen, this is God. Today, I will be handling all of your problems. Please remember that I do not need your help. If the devil happens to deliver a situation to you that you cannot handle, do not attempt to resolve it yourself. Kindly put it into the SFJTD box. Something for Jesus to do. It will be addressed in my time, not yours. Once the matter is placed into the box, do not hold on to it or attempt to remove it. Holding on or removal will delay the resolution of your problem. If it is a situation that you think you are capable of handling, please consult me in prayer to be sure that it is the proper resolution. And because I do not sleep, nor do I ever slumber, there is no need for you to lose any sleep. Rest, my child. If you need to contact me, I am only a prayer away. I'm only a prayer away. You know what that is? That's God's voice of encouragement to you. This is God speaking. I'll be handling all of your problems today. I love it. Hey, that's good enough for me. I don't have to sweat it. Amen? I'm so thankful. Listen, Song of Solomon 2:8 says, ah, the voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. 5:2 says, it is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. You know what those are words of? Encouragement. Amen. Encouragement. Amen. Jesus says, my beloved, open to me. I'm here at your door for whatever you need. Oh, he's so good this morning, church. But I see something else from our text this morning. Look at the supernatural ability that Jesus gives. Look with me in verse 28. Don't miss this. Watch the supernatural ability that Jesus provides. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. Amen. Is anybody listening? Amen. This is not normal. You serve a supernatural God. And 29, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Can you imagine the picture, the scene? Oh, they're in the ship. Woo! The waves are crashing. And Jesus says, come on, Pete. And Peter gets down out of the ship. I don't know. Hey! Guys, look at me! They're showing off to the other apostles, you know? But folks, this is the supernatural ability that Jesus gives to you and I. He walked on the water. Wow! Listen, I'm here to tell you this morning, church, that Jesus can give you the ability that you need to serve him, no matter what it might be, even walking on water. Yes. Why? Because Jesus told him to do it. Now, in the famous play, The Barretts of Wimpole Street, Elizabeth asked her husband, oh, Robert, how can you love me so when you're so strong and I'm so weak? Robert replies, Elizabeth, my strength needs your weakness just as much as your weakness needs my strength. Jesus needs our weakness. Don't come to Jesus,
hey, I'm a spiritual giant. I don't need your help, Lord. The guy's out of church, you never see him again.
Hey, when I am weak, Paul said, I am strong. Why? Because he was dependent upon God's grace. The only way for you to be strong in your Christian life is to be weak in your own strength. And to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus says, I've got all the strength you need. Amen. Don't look at your own muscles. Look at mine. Amen? Listen carefully. Morrison understood. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The first missionary to go to China, his name was Robert Morrison. He disembarked from his ship in the first Chinese port he came to the captain sneeringly said, so you think you're going to make an impression upon China, do you? Morrison humbly replied to the shipmaster, no, sir, but I believe God will.
Amen.
I believe God will. And don't you know the China Inland Mission is still going today? Glory to God. Psalm 63, verse 8 says, thy right hand upholdeth me. Upholdeth. Do you realize he's upholding you today? Exodus 19:4, God speaking, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. Yeah, where are they? They're all dead. And how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Isaiah 40:29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They shall have supernatural ability that Jesus gives.
Amen.
I am so thankful this morning that I can trust on his omnipotent arm to take care of everything I need. Amen? Oh, I'm no match for the devil. I'm a nobody. I'm nothing. But my Savior, you better look out, devil. He's coming for you. Oh, yeah. He's mighty, and he gives supernatural ability to those who seek it. But something else quickly this morning. Notice the cause of Peter's fear. Look at verse 30. In verse 30. But when he, Peter, saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Notice the cause of Peter's fear in verse 30. When he saw the wind. When he saw the waves, when he saw the storm, he got afraid. What am I going to do? Oh, no. You're walking on water, pal. You're on top of the ocean. Oh, no. What am I going to do? Isn't that like us? God is doing all this in our life. And blessing and oh man, all the miracles occurring and people getting healed and souls getting saved and gospel going all over the world. Oh, but what am I going to do? Hello? Anybody home? He's walking on water and he's afraid. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you why he's afraid. Look at verse 30 again. But when he saw the wind, what do you got to do to look at the wind? You've got to take your eyes off of something and put it on something else, right? It makes sense. Now listen carefully. While Peter kept his eyes fixed on Jesus and upon his words and upon his power, he walked upon the water no problem, no fear. He was living above his circumstances while he was looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of his faith. But when he began to look at the danger, the difficulties that surrounded him, he began to sink. And brethren, the minute you and I take our focus off of Jesus Christ and start fretting and worrying and looking at whatever problems we might be facing, we too are going to start sinking downward in despair and defeat. Listen to what God says, Isaiah 51 verse 12. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldst be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man, which shall be made as grass, and forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that has stretched forth the heavens, and laid the foundations of the earth? God says, hello, do you remember me? The Maker of everything? I'm with you. Don't be afraid. Do you think that you might be able to trust me to keep you from sinking? Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah, he can. Peter's looking at the mighty waves. Peter's looking at the boisterous wind. Peter's looking at the thunder and lightning. And Jesus says, just look at me. Just look at me. Everything will be fine. But keep your eyes focused.
Yes.
I like what my sister Ellie says. She has a saying. It's called paying attention on purpose. Isn't that good?
Yes.
You, as a Christian, must pay attention on purpose to Jesus Christ. You know why? The devil wants you to wander. The devil wants your thoughts to go over here and over there and get them off of Jesus Christ. He doesn't care what you do. You could be making a puzzle. You could be playing Monopoly. You could be watching the television. Whatever it might be, if your eyes are taken off of Jesus, he's got you right where he wants you.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
And he says, Jesus says, Peter, will you just keep your eyes on me? Then you'll be just fine. How we can learn from Peter this morning, beloved. But I see something else quickly. Listen, watch who kept Peter from drowning. He would have drowned. Who kept him from drowning? Look with me in verse number 31. And immediately, hold on, let's back it up. Verse 30. And beginning to sink, Peter cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately... Wouldn't it be great if the text said Jesus took a coffee break? No. He never slumbers nor sleeps. Look at it. Look at it. And immediately, Jesus... Wait. How about if it said Church of Christ will like this one? After he got baptized... Yeah, he got baptized, all right. Lake of Nazareth. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. And said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? I love this passage. Notice how Jesus didn't send Moses or an angel or Isaiah. Jesus, look at it says, Jesus put forth his hand and caught him.
Amen.
You know what's going to happen when you begin to sink? He might let you sink a little bit too. I know the feeling. In order for him to stretch forth his hand and catch you before you drown. Look at it, verse 31. And Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Oh, the precious wording of the Holy Spirit here. He caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Jesus turns to Peter, catches him, picks him up, puts him in the ship and says, why'd you doubt me? I'm right here. Take care of everything. Have I ever let you down? No. Oh, this is so good. I love this text. He kept Peter from perishing.
Yeah.
And he'll keep you from perishing in your storm. Did you know that he will not let you down when you need him the most? I like that. From the Gospel Herald, an article entitled, Why It's Called Old Faithful. Dr. W. Morris Ford speaks of the famous geyser called Old Faithful in Yellowstone National Park. It gets its name... Old Faithful, from the fact that unlike other geysers, it follows a dependable schedule. Once every 65 minutes to the second, it shoots, you can set your clock by it, it shoots a stream of boiling water more than 170 feet into the air. No one knows when it began or how many times it has erupted, but with amazing regularity for a geyser, it continues to spout, hence worthy of its name, Old Faithful. Old Faithful. You know who's more dependable than Old Faithful? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He's a faithful Savior. He will not let you down. And he'll be there on time, on schedule, when you need him. Oh, he's so good. Yes, it was only the master of the seas that kept the apostle Peter from sinking and drowning. And it's only the master of the seas that will keep you and I from drowning. He's so dependable. I'm so glad he's the one that just the time I need him, he's always there. He lives! He lives!
Yes.
Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Oh, he's so faithful. Faithful God we serve. But something else quickly. Notice when the storm ceased. Look with me in verse 32. Notice when the storm ceased. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Oh, this will preach. When they were come into the ship, the storm ceased. They were outside the ship, found himself in a storm, got back in the ship, and everything was fine. I wonder what the ship represents. Listen carefully, beloved. When Jesus came on board, the storm was gone. Jesus was out there on the water with Peter, saying, come on, walk to me. They're both on there, standing on top of the water. Peter sinking, grabs him by the hair, pulls him up, throws him on the ship, and Jesus comes into the ship. Look at it, 32. And when they, Peter and Jesus, were come into the ship, the wind ceased. You know when the storm's going to cease? When Jesus comes on board. When Jesus comes on, you know what we do? Folks, we're a fickle bunch. We're a forgetful creature. Because we'll go through these trials, we'll go through these tribulations and say, wait a minute, I've got a Savior. Yeah. And we go to Him in prayer, and guess what? The storm ceases. Call upon Him. He comes into the ship, and everything is calm and serene. And the wind ceases. I love that. Psalm 107, verse 29, He, the Lord, bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Verse 30. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven. But oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. I love that Psalm 109. He says He brings them out there in the storms, and He brings a calm. He brings a peace that nothing else can bring. Only Jesus. Amen? Oh, I'm so thankful for that peace that He brings in the midst of my storm. But one final thing I want you to see, and I'll be done. Notice and watch who gets all the glory when the storm's over. 33. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and what?
Worship
Jesus, saying of a truth, Thou art the Son of God.
Yes.
Folks, listen, when He delivers us from our storms in life, He gets all the glory. And they worshiped Him, saying of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. Don't you love Him this morning? Aren't you glad that He'll take care of that trial? He'll take care of that storm? He'll deliver you from that illness? He'll take care of everything. And He'll be worshipped because of it. I'm so thankful this morning that every victory, every blessing, every single storm He brings us through, for of a truth, Thou art the Son of God.
Amen.
All redounds to His glory and His praise. Oh, what a blessed Savior we serve this morning. Let us learn to give Captain Jesus all the praise and glory for the deliverance that He brings. In closing, let me give you this. Someone wrote, author unknown, Two frogs fell into a can of cream, or so I've heard it told. The sides of the can were shiny and steep. The cream was deep and cold. Oh, what's the use, croaked number one. 'Tis fate, no help's around. Goodbye, my friends, goodbye, sad world. And weeping still, he drowned. But number two, of sterner stuff, dog paddled in surprise. The while he wiped his creamy face and dried his creamy eyes. I'll swim a while, at least he said, or so I've heard he said. It really wouldn't help the world if one more frog were dead. An hour or two he kicked and swam, not once he stopped to mutter. But kicked and kicked and swam, then hopped out by a butter. He stirred that cream so much it turned to butter and he got out. Point being, frog number two didn't give up in the midst of the storm of cream. He kept on dog paddling. Amen? Folks, listen to me. Number one gave up and drowned. Are you going to be like number two, who was determined to get out of the storm of cream? Listen, Jesus is able to keep you from sinking when the storm rolls in, and only Jesus is able to keep you and I walking on water. Father in heaven, how we thank You this morning that we want to be like frog number two. We want to keep on dog paddling in the storms of life and know that Jesus will get us out, whether it be by a butter or by a miracle. Lord, we thank You this morning that You're the master of the sea. And we can trust you through every storm of life, every trial, every burden, every heartache, every problem we face is under your feet, and that's all that matters. We thank you for it this morning, Lord, that we too, like Peter, can be walking on water, keeping our eyes focused on thee, seeing the divine deliverance that you bring us out of that trial. And then, Lord, I love the ninth point. It is that you get all the glory for the deliverance.
Yes.
Verse 33 says, and they what were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Thou art my deliverer.
Yes.
Thou art my Savior. Thou, Lord Jesus, art my all in all. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. And I may need some help on this hymn. And thank you for your prayers. You raised me up from the sick bed. Aren't you glad? Now you're going to get a double whammy. Let's open up our hymnals and we'll stand. 260. Oh, praise the Lord.
Praise God.
It is so good to know this Savior. Mm. And we'll sing hymn number 260, first and last. Oh, it's so good to know that he's the very best friend you can have. What a friend. What a Savior. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Oh, the privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forget.
Praise the Lord. Let's have Brother Carl, could you sit and dismiss us? Praise the Lord.
Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have here this morning, Lord, to hear your word.
Mm.
We know, Lord, that you are the one and the only one that will lead us forward through any problem that we come against and the ill we face. We just pray, Lord, you keep us ever mindful of that as we journey forward. Give us safe travels. Safely protect us, Lord, and bring us back safely to hear your word again. And we ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.